Coming up on this episode of Retail Untangled.
Over a quarter of retail businesses in our latest research actually plan to increase the cost of delivery, where people go in store, but then they will also check online to see if they can get a cheaper deal. Is it easy? Can you pivot?
Welcome to Retail Untangled. I'm Amy Larter, and this is a podcast dedicated to business hacks and retail insights you won't find anywhere else. They are stories from the coalface, real-time innovation and solutions, and each episode will untangle a widespread retail problem. I pose the following to this episode's guest, Sophia Pope, the Sales and Customer Success Leader for ShipStation. Sophia, over the last few years, speed has become the most important factor in delivery. However, as cost of living worries rise, value is coming to the forefront. How should retailers respond?
Consumers are expecting more than ever free delivery, free returns. So this puts a lot of pressure on retailers. Whilst retailers really do recognise that that is important, with the ever-increasing operation costs for businesses, is a real challenge. And I think, in fact, over a quarter of retail businesses in our latest research actually plan to increase the cost of delivery for their customers in 2023, and only 18 plan no increases. So there is a bit of a misalignment there. And what that's really pushing out into the market is this increase in hybrid shopping. So whereby you would have your online shoppers, they would normally kind of stay online, but actually what we're finding is that they will go online, have a little look at a deal, but actually go in store as well to check what that looks like and that deal. So we're finding this whole loyal to the brand but not loyal to the retailer, which is really interesting. And it kind of goes the opposite way, where people go in store but then they will also check online to see if they can get a cheaper deal. So retailers really have to think about that. And another kind of aspect to that is the experience that they receive both online and in store, because they're being a lot more hybrid. The expectations are that the experience is seamless wherever they are.
Cost is really the factor for both parties, I suppose. It seems like there's two options for retailers, and I'm hoping maybe you'll come up with a third, but retailers can either absorb the cost or pass it on. How are retailers grappling with this, and what are some of the options you're seeing?
I think retailers have been grappling with this for quite a long time, regardless of the climate. It is difficult. It's a very difficult conundrum for people. Shipping and delivery costs, you know, are one of the most expensive costs, and it's very difficult to kind of get your head around that, even more so in this climate, right? So the expectation for free delivery and free returns is huge at the moment. And what we see from our research globally is a huge misalignment again from the responses from the customers and then the retailers around who should actually foot the bill for this. So what I actually see, and successful retailers doing this, they can kind of implement a couple of strategies. One is a multi-carrier strategy. We try and say to retailers, you know, the best way to get on top of these costs is to diversify your carriers. So you are able to then kind of really mitigate that, the shipping costs. You can compare the rates. Retailers can then choose the lowest rates, and then they can pass that on to the customer, knowing that they're getting the best rates. Or just even knowing that precise cost, you can then absorb that into your product cost. You're not kind of guessing. So that is the strongest kind of strategy that we usually recommend. Another one is automating fulfillment, right? So this really helps reducing any kind of operating overheads and creating the necessary efficiencies, which then, again, cost savings can pass on to the consumers.
Before this session, I was having a read through your e-commerce industry benchmark report, which I'll actually put in the show notes for this session. And this reveals that the returns rate for online purchases can often be as high as 30% compared to less than 10% in store. This is another clearly a high cost to retailers. How can they reduce returns?
Yeah, returns is a hot topic at the moment. Retailers really can look at doing a few things to try and reduce returns. So one, ensuring listings are detailed as possible on their website. and really promoting customer reviews. So especially kind of when, you know, women and buy maybe apparel, I don't know if you felt it, but I definitely have, you know, we've all got different body shapes, right? So when you go in to buy something, it can be really difficult. And so seeing other people buying items and like, oh, she has a similar body shape to me. Okay, it will fit roughly like that. That really helps retailers reduce those returns. So trying to get the community involved in that and making sure it's detailed as possible. Surge charges. So actually, this is another way. This is quite interesting that's kind of come out, but there are some big retailers actually leading the way on this, and they're introducing surcharges. So Zara, Boohoo, and they're really trying to reduce this bracketing trend where 15% of shoppers actually do this. So bracketing, for people that might not know what that is where you go and buy maybe four items knowing that you're going to return the three because you can't make a choice, right? It's not actually great for the environment. It's a massive trend, and so retailers are really trying to reduce that. So surcharges really puts people off. I think then the last one that I'm seeing in returns is returning in store. So where retailers are actually forcing people to have to return items in store, kind of introducing that friction. So people would do it a lot less. So one point I actually do want to mention, which I think is a really interesting kind of consideration for retailers when it comes to returns, is that the difference in generations. So this is actually coming out in research where the younger generation is actually more accepting of the idea of return charges. So 40% of Gen Z saying that they would consider paying for online returns compared to actually 22% of boomers. So I think when retailers need to consider that, when, you know, who's their audience and, you know, what strategy would actually work. So I think that's really interesting.
Did you unpack the driving factors behind that?
I think with Gen Z behind all of this, a lot was sustainability. We're seeing Gen Z being a lot more conscious of environments, you know, the environmental impact. And so therefore, they're more accepting. OK, well, this is actually harder for carriers and retailers to do. So therefore, I accept that. Whereas I think boomers have got kind of very used to, you know, kind of expectations that, oh, well, it should happen. But there are consequences to everything that happens. And I think Gen Z are just a lot more educated about that, and expectations are different.
Customers may not be willing to pay for fast delivery right now. So obviously we've gone from that speed and convenience, and now we're looking for value. But there are a certain cohort, and this is obviously Gen Z, that are proving to be willing to pay for green delivery options. Is there an opportunity for retailers here? And what does that look like?
Sustainability isn't going to go anywhere, right? So consumers are more than ever conscious about kind of their purchases, what effect this is having on the environment. But people, however, are very attuned to greenwashing. So where retailers really need to be careful is what they're kind of promoting and ensuring that it's not conflicting in their messaging. So that's a note definitely to kind of remember. Our research actually shows that currently in this climate, consumers are actually very sensitive to price and paying for green options. So it might be a deal breaker currently in this climate.
How does the value versus the sustainability balance itself out with what you've seen?
The research basically says if you have two retailers that are offering kind of very similar products and one offers a green option, if they have to pay for it, it will be a deal breaker currently. And so then, yeah, our research really, with that sustainability piece, we see, you know, 26% of shoppers are actually planning to buy secondhand. So that's a huge thing that's coming up at the moment is secondhand. One in four shoppers are planning to use resale marketplaces more often in 2023. So there's no stigma these days around, you know, thrift shopping, secondhand shopping. That is actually going to be very, very common. I've seen big e-commerce brands, apparel brands, where they put like a pre-love section on their website, and then they actually give consumers, you know, credits if they return some of their items and have that. And that's been super successful for them.
We're seeing it on the pages of Inside Retail as well. And, you know, people do attach themselves to brands that are doing the right thing and making our choices more sustainable choices as well, which is fabulous. Customers right now are obviously price conscious. You have to only read the front page of any news outlet to understand why. Do you think setting yourself up now in terms of sustainability, even though it might not be a the key differentiator right now, it's about setting ourselves up for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months down the track when that may very well be the deciding factor?
Do you know what? I think retailers really need to kind of look inward, and sustainability needs to be like part of their values and, you know, their mission, because as I say, consumers are very sensitive to this greenwashing. So it's not to be like, oh, I'm going to do it because I might get extra sales. It shouldn't be for that reason. It should honestly be, we want to try and do our bit, and retailers should just start small, right? They should start small, try and make a difference, really look at their messaging. Am I being conflicting? You know, am I trying to say there's a green option here, but then I'm promoting returns, right? Returns are the biggest carbon footprint, you know, they go out, they have to come back in. So is that conflicting? When we hear it time and time again, retailers really need to be authentic. They really need to understand, you know, where they stand and their vision and their values. And I think that's where it starts, and start small. You don't have to then all of a sudden, 3 months, I'm going to be the most sustainable company out there and we're going to go completely carbon neutral. It's those little things that I think they need to start embedding, and it will pay off dividends.
And it's true, you can't change a full strategy in 3 months, but you can take a baby step. And I think baby steps is, you're on the journey. No one expects to get to the destination straight away, but at least you're on the journey and progressing in a way that I really think is an expectation. It's starting to become an expectation. It's what customers want. So it's such an interesting time to see where that's going to go. There's a long chain of events, I'm going to call them events, that happen before the parcel gets to the customer's doorstep. What are some of the quick wins for retailers looking to improve efficiency of these earlier stages of the delivery process?
Look, it's extremely hard for businesses to scale without improving efficiencies, right? It just does not work. So retailers really need to make their tech stack work for them. They need to look at their tech stack and go, right, can I pivot? Is it nimble? Is it easy? You know, these are really considerations, especially for new retailers, right? So we, you know, really think about that when you're setting up. I was just at a retail fest in Queensland, and, you know, I was talking to lots of businesses there, and there was a business just setting up, and they were telling us kind of what platforms they're thinking about and choosing. And, you know, my biggest advice was, is it easy? Can you pivot? Because it sounds like, you know, this particular couple were looking at custom this, custom that. And I said, okay, so if you want to change something 6 months later, how easy is that going to be? And then, oh, yeah, I don't know. So tech stack is super important to retailers. So with that, it's automation as well, right? So if you have automation, it reduces the reliance on any human kind of errors. You'll be able to scale so much quicker. And especially when it comes to kind of, you know, delivery and all the parts, the events, as you mentioned before that, it gets really complicated. There's a lot of logic behind it. And, you know, we see businesses maybe with 50, 60 casual staff. Now, if you have to teach every single person, like, all this logic, it just doesn't make sense. So that's why you need tech stack, to be able to put the automation in. You set, you forget, you know that you can kind of get busier and more orders, and it doesn't become any more complex. And when you think, when you get to a certain size, there's just so many other people in the organization, the change management in just changing tech stack, it becomes so difficult. it's a nightmare. So get it right in the beginning.
And I think this applies to many businesses, not just retailers. I mean, you know, if you don't set it up from word go properly, you're going to be revisiting. And when you revisit, it takes time and you're undoing a lot and then rebuilding. And I do think there's a lot to be said for just thinking about it and using that advice from word go, because you will scale in such a different way.
People love the word custom, and they're like, custom, I'm individual, it's my business, we're going to be special. Just watch out when it comes to custom. I think it can work for some people, But for majority, it can get very expensive. You need development teams, and those development teams need to stay with you, and they could even get bigger. That's a whole cost in itself. So really think about kind of tech stack that is easy, that's out of the box, that you can change, and that have lots of integrations as well, because, you know, then you can add to those. Oh yeah, brilliant. Okay. You know, oh, I have Shopify, then I can connect to ShipStation. I can connect to Klaviyo. I can connect to, you know, the ecosystem is your oyster then, right? So whereas if you are just, I'm custom and I'm on separate, that might work for your business model. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, for everybody, but I think really think about it and talk to other retailers and who have gone through that and have got those, you know, those learnings, and just go and speak to a lot of, you know, people that might be able to just make sure that you don't fall into those pitfalls.
Let's look down the track, 5 years time from now, and we've moved from speed focus to now price focus being quite a significant differentiator for customers when it comes to online delivery. What should retailers be really considering now for when it comes to delivery in 2028?
I think we see some key themes that are not really disappearing in the industry, right? So sustainability, we kind of touched on this earlier. That's not going to go anywhere. So as we said, really start investing in that now. Really start looking at it. You know, globally, almost 4 in 5 shoppers are going to value green delivery options. So when they're on ordering online, so that's up 5% actually from last year. So again, each year it's just getting more and more important. There's going to be, around the sustainability piece, you know, out of home deliveries. So if you really think about kind of deliveries, like pre-pandemic, people were working in offices. So when they would get deliveries, they would get it delivered to work, right? So carriers would go in delivering a lot of parcels to maybe an office building. Pandemic comes, now everybody's gone home. Now it's one parcel to one home. There's a lot of pressure on carriers, really does. And it's, and you know, online shopping's only getting more and more. How does the whole network kind of scale like that? So a lot more retailers and a lot more carriers will be pushing this out of home deliveries and going back to workplaces, or going back to maybe your local news agents and you have to go and pick it up there, again reducing that carbon footprint. The re-commerce trend, as I mentioned, so second hand, you know, all of that, that's not going anywhere, and that's just getting more and more popular. I think another kind of area that we're going to see is just diversification and options. Customers demanding more and expect more, and they want choice. So you have to offer choice. It's, you know, gone are the days. I roll my eyes at retailers when I only get a standard delivery, 3 to 5 days. You're like, ah, are you serious? Like, come on. Like, I want options. I might not choose it, but I want options.
So. I want the option to be able to get it faster if needs be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, gone are those days. So make sure that you invest in that. Is there express? Is there same day? Is there, you know, standard delivery? And then, as I just mentioned, there's same day, right? Same day is becoming a lot more popular, and businesses are really trying to figure out. It only suits certain businesses, to be fair, but customers, again, kind of want that. And there is an expectation. You know, we're seeing apparel really changing. And, you know, what I'm hearing out in the industry a lot is that apparel will soon be as quick as kind of, you know, your groceries, you know, a DoorDash, and you can go and get them in a couple of hours. There will be times where you're out, maybe you're at a wedding and, I don't know, your shoe breaks, and then you can just go on your phone and you can order a new pair of shoes and it will come within an hour, right? So that's where apparel is going, and the expectations. So I see that being very interesting and how that's going to work. But yeah, that's kind of some key trends.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Retail Untangled. A big shout out to Sophia Pope from ShipStation for sharing such valuable insights. There'll also be a link to ShipStation's recent report in the show notes. And of course, if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred app and kindly take a moment to rate and review. Till next time.
Looking to stay ahead of the curve in the retail industry? Inside Retail's got you covered. With in-depth coverage of the latest news and insights, Inside Retail is the go-to source for retail professionals. Stay informed and connected. Read Inside Retail today.